pirates, because of course they have cannons and everything.
It's a pirate's life for me.
Be proud of who you are and what you are. You're a pirate.
It is a first down. Pirates.
Because when you're at East Carolina, you go for it every time. Well, you don't coach at East Carolina. You don't come to East Carolina. You don't play at East Carolina with a weak heart. Write it.
I think I've ever been in a building as loud as that was. It was deafening in there.
Whoever them on, I can promise you that.
Hit and trample all night long in Eastern North Carolina.
You're watching The Sports Objective, the podcast for Pirates. You're listening to A Pirate's Life for Me on The Sports Objective. Join us every Friday at noon as we catch up with a member of Pirate Nation. Here's your host, Bubba Rosenbaum.
Welcome in to A Pirate's Life for Me on The Sports Objective. East Carolina baseball is just around the corner. Spring training also just around the corner right now. On A Pirate's Life for Me, very excited to be joined by the highest draft pick ever out of East Carolina University, 9th overall by the Toronto Blue Jays back in 2014, and that is, of course, Jeff Hoffman. Hoff, welcome into the show.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. Appreciate you taking your time to join this afternoon and, you know, taking a look at things. Let's just start off. I know you were born and raised in Latham, New York. So tell us a little about your childhood and, you know, that upbringing in Latham, New York.
Yeah. Grew up with a brother and a sister. Played baseball, basketball my whole life. Played some football in my younger days. My dad coached me, you know, all the way up in baseball. Just had a pretty competitive childhood with my brother, and I contribute that a lot to my desire to continue to play at the next level, you know, wherever that was, you know, from high school to college and college to pro. I think that competitive kind of balance with my brother always helped drive me.
Yeah, I noticed during your high school years, and you lettered 3 years in baseball, also a couple in basketball. So you're a multi-sport guy. And did you play anything besides baseball and basketball, you know, during your childhood before getting to high school?
I played football just at the lower Pop Warner levels. I didn't play once we got into like middle school and high school. But I always loved the game of football. I still am a fantasy football guy. I love watching and keep up with ECU and all that stuff. So, all sports really. I grew up, you know, ESPN was always on in my house. My dad, huge sports guy. So kind of learned everything, from him, whatever was on the TV at the time. And, I think that's why I've continued to just love, you know, all sports.
Obviously, over the years, things have changed significantly as far as the emphasis at a very early age that many folks put on travel baseball. You know, everybody thinks their child's going to be the one that gets that Division I scholarship, that gets the opportunity to play professional baseball. But what was your childhood like as far as playing baseball, and then, you know, when you gradually and progressively got more serious?
Yeah, I was kind of forced to play everything. I grew up in upstate New York where it's not, you know, the weather's not good enough to play baseball year round. So I played, baseball when the weather was good enough. And then, you know, when the weather turned cold, we got into football and basketball. And I'm a big believer in being into multiple sports as a way to kind of drive your athleticism and, just to round you more as an athlete. I still to this day feel better on the mound when, you know, I am, you know, feeling more athletic and lighter on my feet and that kind of thing. So I'm a big believer in not really specializing too early. you know, I know my boys now, I have a 4 and a 3-year-old, and they're, you know, constantly wanting to play baseball, but I'm, you know, I try to throw a soccer ball in front of them or a football or a basketball, whatever I have, you know, to try to get them to kind of diversify themselves and to get to like other things.
Yeah, no doubt. Wholeheartedly agree with you that very much against specializing at an early age. Like you, you know, I played everything growing up, you know, football, basketball, baseball, high school, even ran track to get better for football. But, you know, along those lines, you know, having the experience you do with the game and playing at such a high level, you know, if you had to, you know, share a few words with parents, you know, obviously everyone's going to do, you know, what they deem in their best interest, but what would your thoughts be, you know, beyond just the fact that you're not against or that you are against specializing?
Yeah, I would just say, I mean, when you look at the level that I'm at now, I mean, not one of those guys on my teams, you know, through the years, all those guys are the best all around athletes, you know, wherever they came from. Not many of them are guys that, you know, only focused on baseball their whole life. You look at a guy like JT Realmuto, who is, you know, record holder football player in the state of Oklahoma. You know, I played basketball growing up. You know, there are guys all over the place, all over the field that, you know, they were the best athletes all around, you know, not just focusing on baseball. And that's, I feel like what, you know, what a kid needs is to kind of diversify himself and to get, you know, get those different movements and those different muscle groups incorporated in, you know, what they're trying to accomplish. And then, you know, later down the road when, you know, high school and college is starting to come into focus, you know, then you obviously, you know, most guys are looking to pick one. Obviously there's those special cases that they can play multiple sports in college. And then, you know, those obviously very few that get to do it at the pro level. But, you know, I would say, you know, that's my advice. You know, that's kind of the way I'm going to approach it, because that's what worked for me. Yeah, hopefully, you know, if that's something that my boys and my girls want to pursue, hopefully it works for them as well.
Yeah, I agree that it should probably at least be late middle school, if not early high school, before you start specializing. And really, I'm against it even then. You know, obviously, it's a case by case thing, but generally speaking, I'm all for playing everything you can play, for the reasons that you mentioned. But during your career there at Shaker High School in Latham, New York, I believe you guys won a state title as a senior. Is that correct?
No, we actually came. Sure. We lost in this title game.
Okay.
Yeah, we were close. We were close.
So tell us about what it's like. You talk about the challenges from a weather standpoint. You know, I have a good friend now whose son's a freshman playing high school baseball here in the next few weeks, or I guess a little bit longer than that, in the state of Connecticut. So what was it like, you know, playing high school baseball in New York? And talk about that tremendous run you guys had as a senior. You allowed just 14 runs in 63 innings, you know, per your bio on ecupirates.com.
I didn't even know that, but cool.
Yeah.
yeah, so, I mean, there are the challenges of, you know, you can only be outside for so many months. You know, it's not really, you know, worth it to go outside and try to practice in the snow or anything like that. So there are a lot of, you know, indoor type places, where you got to train. You know, I know for high school, we would be in the gym a lot of the time. You know, I think, when you look at it like that though, it's the same for everybody up there. So, you know, you can only get out what you put in. And you know, for me, I feel like, you know, if you can, you know, focus and get as much as you can out of those, you know, indoor kind of, you know, crappy circumstances where, you know, people in the South are outside hitting on the field in, February or March when you're stuck in the gym until April. You know, it does suck a little bit, but you know, like I said, you get out what you put in, and you know, I was, you know, lucky enough to, you know, get better during those winter months. And I thought I got better at baseball by playing basketball as well, like we just talked about. So, you know, there are a lot of ways you can get better, you know, from that, you know, perspective. You can, you know, play other sports. You can, you know, get in the weight room when you're not able to get on the field. You know, when you don't have the ability to have the volume outside, you can, you know, get the volume inside in different ways. So, you know, just like I said, just get your reps in the gym and in the indoor facilities, wherever you can do it. And, you know, see where it takes you.
East Carolina was, of course, and well into the Billy Godwin era. You know, when you were being recruited, Dan Rosell was the pitching coach, you know, when you were in Greenville pitching for the Pirates. But and tell us about that recruitment, and, you know, who else did you consider, and before you made that decision to attend ECU?
Yeah, I actually committed to Elon before I committed to East Carolina. I wanted to play in the South, and at that time, Elon was the best offer that I had. And long story short, I didn't get in past admissions with my transcripts, and the coaches at Elon were nice enough to kind of forward me along to, you know, some of the coaches that they were close with at the time. I think they passed my name along to like East Carolina and North Carolina, NC State, Coastal, like those type of schools. They knew I wanted to be in the Carolinas. I had some family in the area at that time, and ECU gave me the best financial package. And actually, it's a funny story. During the playoffs this year, I ran into Elliot Avent, and because Trey had him in town for one of the playoff series. And Elliot, you know, approached me and introduced himself and everything. I obviously knew who he was, and I had turned him down. You know, it was pretty brief. It was pretty quick. Like, I went and took an official to East Carolina, you know, kind of fell in love with the school, committed on site, and didn't really give anybody else a chance. And he, you know, brought it up and questioned me about it. And Che kind of butted in and chimed in. He said, yeah, it's because you didn't offer him enough money. And but we were joking and laughing about, you know, what could have been with me, Trey, and Rodon, and you know, all those great players they had over there at that time. I think they went to Omaha, you know, one of those years that I was in school. So it was a funny little story, but I enjoyed it.
As far as the recruitment by East Carolina, you talk about taking your visit and liking what you saw. One of the biggest selling points, obviously, in addition to just the tradition and so much winning in East Carolina's baseball history, you just have an awesome fan base. It's something that has progressively, you know, just gotten better and better through the years. You know, we're top 15 consistently in attendance, you know, for the season, averaging right at 4,500. And the primary, you know, programs ahead of us are those in the SEC. I think I saw a number for 2023, and we ranked fifth nationally for programs outside of the Southeastern Conference. But talk about that impact that the atmosphere at Clark LeClair made on you. Of course, East Carolina had defeated Jackie Bradley Jr. and the South Carolina Gamecocks in that 2009 regional to advance to a super regional against the University of North Carolina.
Yeah. I still to this day come across guys here and there where they're like, hey, you went to East Carolina, man, we played there. What an environment, what an atmosphere. You know, a lot of guys really can't believe it, you know, when they get there and they get in front of the fans there, that, you know, we, you know, have such an incredible fan base and great following. And, you know, I kind of chuckle all the time because, you know, they were there for a weekend series. I got to see it, you know, every single day, you know, for 3 years straight. So I know, obviously know what it's about. It's difficult to explain to some of the guys that come out of the bigger schools, you know, the SEC schools, ACC schools. But it's really special, and it shows how much, you know, the city of Greenville and everybody means to, you know, the program. And obviously we feel it when we're on the field and we show up and everybody's, you know, packing the stadium out. And it's been a lot of fun to watch recently also after I've been gone, you know, seeing the regional and super regional appearances and seeing, you know, how amazing the, you know, the fan base has shown up. And, you know, it's been a lot of fun to watch on TV.
Yeah, kind of working in reverse a bit here, you know, before we talk about your career specifically, since you brought up, you know, how awesome it is as an ECU baseball alum, seeing the success the program's having, you know, being on the brink of Omaha so many times, especially against Texas, and then several years previously against Texas Tech down in Lubbock, yeah. You know, just a few outs away in each of those instances. One of the biggest emphasis right now as a program is getting that the baseball ops building down the left field line, getting a professional locker room where guys, you know, like yourself, guys like Alec Burleson and et cetera, can return during the off season if they choose to get their work in. Talk about what that would mean to you and what you think that would mean to, you know, to some of the current Pirates, more recent Pirates that have come along after you.
Yeah, I think it would mean a lot to give guys the opportunity and a reason to come back and train and to use the facilities, because East Carolina does have amazing facilities, you know, at their disposal. So, you know, talking to guys that I've played with, guys from University of Virginia or, you know, Texas, wherever, they all have, you know, Vanderbilt also, they all have stuff like that where, you know, it's like a welcoming, you know, environment, having the pro guys come back, having them around to work and to talk and to be there for the guys that are on the team, you know, currently, to be able to pick our brains. And, you know, I think it would mean a lot for the program. It would help the program. It would obviously help the players get to the next level, and it would you know, help them, you know what they're getting into at the next level, because it is different. It's a very different game, the college game, from the pro game. It's very much a business, and that's something that you really don't know until you get into it. You know, you're not just playing, you know, for the guys next to you, you're playing for your family and to put food on the table. And that's very different from the college level.
Certainly is. And that's a thought that's been shared by so many former Pirates, as well as, you know, interviews I've heard from players from other schools on just how much they missed, you know, what the college game offered, you know, playing in Omaha, you know, playing in a rowdy Clark LeClaire Stadium in a midweek game against the likes of an NC State or North Carolina, UNC, Wilmington, et cetera. But talk about making that transition from high school baseball to, you know, one of the top 25, 30 programs, you know, at that time, probably in the nation, and what that jump was like.
Yeah, obviously the one that stands out is, like, you go from 25 parents and family members being at your game in high school to, you know, 4,000, that, you know, at that time that felt like a major league environment and atmosphere. And then obviously you move on to the next level and you get to pro ball and you see that, oh wow, that was really nothing. And now, you know, I got to pitch in front of 40,000, you know, in October and that kind of thing. It's very different. But I think the thing that, that you kind of, number one, you mature as a person, you know, when you're going through the college level, like you're going from being a kid, you're now living by yourself in a different state, you know, no parents every day to, you know, stay on you about, you know, anything. You're on your own. At least for me, I was out of state kid. And you know, it's kind of like growing up, and you're doing the same thing. And, in the baseball world, you're growing up, you know, you're learning like, oh, I got to be able to pitch in front of 4,000 people. Then I got to learn how to pitch in front of 12,000 people. And then I got to learn how to pitch in front of 30,000. Like it's kind of like the growing pains, and it's not, you know, smooth or easy for everyone. Some people it is. But you know, I think the fan base at ECU being the way it is definitely helps. And it's a stepping stone to the next level, because there were some rowdy environments, in some of the games that I played in there, and that definitely helps prepare you for rowdy environments in the future.
Taking a look at your 2012 season, you know, what really stands out to you, and just kind of reflecting back in preparation and for this interview, just seeing some of the things that that you accomplished, first collegiate win in a shutout against a rival UNC Wilmington, a 5-0 win for the Pirates. You went 6 1/3 and allowed 7 hits and pitched very well against the Seahawks. So what are your memories of that one?
Not much. It's so long ago now.
Yeah.
You know, I remember, you know, my first outing of my college career. I remember my first start was against Trey at NC State. I actually didn't even remember that my first win was against UNC Wilmington. You know, I think, you know, that time for me was such a whirlwind, and you know, I wish, you know, looking back, obviously hindsight is 2020, but you know, I wish I was a little bit more mature in some senses, where I could have stayed in the moment a little bit better. You know, to remember some of those more, you know, important moments in my career. But, you know, looking back, you know, I see, you know, news articles and, you know, web articles and stuff like that every once in a while come up about, you know, some of those good old days. And, you know, I had a ton of fun playing for the Pirates. And, you know, it was definitely a time in my life that I cherish. And, you know, I hope, you know, my kids, you know, get to do something similar someday.
Another game, certainly don't recall a lot about it, but I do remember losing that year 1-0 in extra innings at 10th ranked North Carolina. And in that one, you had an excellent outing. And you, I know I'm putting you on the spot again here. You remember that one? You went seven shutout innings, 5 hits.
Yeah, I remember that one. I believe Colin Moran was, you know, out with like a broken hand or something that night. And I was like, oh man, that makes it a little bit easier, but not much. No, they were an unbelievable team that year. And that was, you know, my freshman year. And I remember that feeling like the biggest stage in the world. And you know, same with the game, my first start against NC State, those games felt like the biggest games, you know, that I would ever pitch in. Obviously had no idea, you know, what I would be getting into, you know, 5-10 years from then. But, you know, yeah, I really enjoyed playing against that type of competition at that time. That was something that I'd never, you know, being an upstate New York kid, I had no idea about ACC baseball and SEC baseball and all these, you know, the highest level, you know, a highest amateur level that you could possibly play at. And, you know, I definitely, you know, I'm very thankful for those opportunities given to me, and think they helped, you know, shape the pitcher that I am now.
Before we started recording, you know, we were talking about your relationship with pitching coach Dan Rozell. And tell us, you know, during that freshman season, as you were making that big jump from high school to a high level Division I baseball, you know, what was your relationship like with coach, and you know, the things that he really emphasized, you know, to maximize your potential?
Yeah, it was, you know, huge, because Dan, you know, he called our games for us at, you know, when I, back then, I have no idea, you know, how it goes now, but you know, for me personally, I needed that. I had no idea how to call my own game when I was a, you know, 19 year old kid. So being able to see that, learn from that, understand what I was good at, by him calling my pitches, understanding, you know, oh, wow, you know, every, you know, 2-strike count, I'm throwing a lot of curveballs. So I must have a, you know, pretty good curveball. Like he believes in it. So I believe in it. So I think, you know, from those, like that on-field stuff, he definitely helped, you know, progress my career, and I'm super thankful for him. And you know, that whole staff, I mean, it all it is, you know, you're helping 18-year-old ball players, you know, grow up a little bit and, you know, both on the field and off the field. And, you know, for what they did, you know, for me and, you know, I feel like it helped me get to the next level, which is all I could have asked for. That's all I wanted, you know, out of them is to, you know, help me use this as a stepping stone to get me to professional baseball. I want to see what I got, you know, and try to use this as a career.
Following your freshman season, you had the chance to play up in the Cape for Hyannis. So tell us about that experience, because obviously that's, you know, the premier summer baseball league, and there's been at least a movie made about it. So, you know, back in the early 2000s, Freddie Prinze Jr. and Jessica Biel, Summer Catch. But tell us about what it's really like to play at the Cape and, you know, with so many high level prospects.
Yeah, it was crazy. I, you know, to this day, I still don't know why or what Coach Godwin saw in me to give me that opportunity to go there as a freshman. There aren't many freshmen that are up there at all. But I remember getting the call in my dorm room, and I picked up the phone. I thought I was in trouble or something. And he answered the phone. He said, "You want to go to the Cape this summer?" And I said, "Yeah, absolutely. I would love to." And he said, "All right, you're in." And that was that. And, you know, I had a decent freshman season, went up there and really got to see, you know, what the minor leagues was going to be about, because that's really what it is. It's kind of like that lower minor league level where you got all this whole mishmash of college players, and they're all, you know, the best for their program respectively. And, you know, you get to play every night against those guys. And for a whole summer, you know, I got to see kind of where I stacked up against the best players in the country. Had a pretty good summer there. Actually took a step forward with velocity there. I think, you know, just getting a little bit more mature physically and getting stronger and stuff. You know, that summer, I pretty much, you know, that I used that summer as another stepping stone to kind of put myself in the conversation of like, this guy, you know, can be a guy at the next level.
What's that atmosphere like up in the Cape? Of course, some summer leagues have much better atmospheres than others. And in many ways, it's kind of like, at least in certain summer leagues, kind of like minor league baseball, as far as all the promotions and things to get fans out to the ballpark. What's it like in the Cape, at least back then?
Yeah, no, it was, it's not so much the atmosphere, like fans atmosphere, as much as it is like scouting and, you know, you're basically pitching. It's like a showcase every night. Like you're not necessarily there to win. It's, you know, you're getting your innings in, and every inning and every pitch you throw, you're throwing in front of a radar gun and, you know, 30 plus scouts. So it was an awesome experience. Obviously me pitching well and, you know, showing all the things that I need to show helped my experience there. I still keep in touch with my host family there. I lived with them for two summers. They're still very much in my life. You know, they just came down to Orlando at the beginning of the off season to celebrate my twin girl's first birthday. They flew in for that. You know, it was a special few summers, and you know, once again, like, I've done a lot of things in my career that, you know, I hope that if my boys end up playing baseball, I hope that they get to experience some of the things that I've done.
Moving into your sophomore season, 2013, during your freshman year, you had been kind of a split guy. You had, I don't know, right around 20 appearances, about half of those were starts in 2013. Talk about that role, 15 starts, and then you logged nearly 110 innings and had a very solid, you know, 3.2 ERA. But but your record was not, in my opinion, what it should have been. We just didn't at times score enough runs.
Yeah, that was kind of my first year as like the workhorse type, you know, pitcher at the front of the rotation. I got the chance to start on, I think I started Friday night every outing that year. It was new for me because the year before that I was, you know, I worked my way into the rotation and, you know, I didn't really spend the full season as a starter. But being, you know, on that type of schedule and knowing that, you know, every Friday night I'm going to have to go try to beat their best starter. It was cool. And, you know, you get kind of ridden the same, you get ridden like a top a front of the line rotation guy. Like you're out there for seven innings every night, like no matter what, you're the best guy they got. So that was cool. And obviously, you know, getting stacked up against, you know, some of the arms that I had to face was fun. And, you know, that kind of sets the tone for the rest of the series. So a lot of like high stakes for those starters, the Friday night starters. And, you know, we probably didn't do as well as I would have liked that year, but, it was definitely a learning experience for me.
Yeah. During those years, Conference USA, a very formidable league, you know, with the likes of Rice and Southern Miss, Tulane, et cetera. But it was clear that, you know, the coaches around the league, you know, recognized the type of pitcher you were because of you earned second team all Conference USA honors despite that 6-7 overall record. And then another neat award that you were the recipient of is the MVP for the top pitcher on the team from the jungle. So, of course, you know, diehard college baseball fans are well aware of the jungle. They've seen it against the likes of Texas and NC State, et cetera, over the last 5 to 10 years on ESPN as college baseball's television coverage has significantly progressed. But talk about that, just the honor of East Carolina fans naming you the Jungle MVP.
Yeah, it means the world. You know, everybody's out there, rain or shine, supporting us. And, you know, it's not always, you know, beautiful, sunshining weather. You know, it gets cold and everybody's still out there, you know, with the megaphones and all that. And I miss that stuff a lot. And I'm really thankful for that award. And I was happy to receive it that year. I remember pretty vividly being really excited about that.
In your final season with the Pirates, I was looking over the numbers. You had a game that you went 9 2/3 innings. I take that back. That was actually in 2013. And then you had games in 2014 against Middle Tennessee State, you know, who was part of the conference at that time. And also you had a game against Western Kentucky where you struck out 16 and 14 respectively. Do you recall those?
I do. One of those games was a game that I blew my elbow out in. And I ended up having surgery after that. That was my last college start. But no, I had a couple good ones that year. And, you know, that was an all or nothing year for me because, you know, the draft was coming up and I really wanted to prove that I was the best player in the country. And, you know, didn't work out the way I wanted it to with getting hurt and all that. But, you know, at the end of the day, still ended up in a pretty good spot. And, definitely thankful for all the opportunities that I got there.
You talk about wanting to be the top, or, you know, one of the top players in the country. Baseball America and Perfect Game that year had you rated as the number two overall prospect in 2014. And that certainly was reflected in the draft that year. You went 9th overall, as I referenced in the opening, the highest draft pick ever out of East Carolina. And that's saying something with the baseball history that the Pirates have. And well, I can only imagine the excitement and what it was like to get that call and find out you're going 9th overall to Toronto.
Yeah, it was amazing. You know, I was in an arm brace after my surgery during that night. And honestly, we didn't know how it was going to turn out. you know, we knew there were a couple teams in the first round that had multiple picks, so they could have been a possibility. And I had had an in-person meeting in Greenville, actually, with the front office from Toronto, and I knew that was a possibility. So, you know, we were kind of holding out for that. And, you know, I got the call, and I was extremely happy and relieved and all those things. And I was ready to get my rehab started at that point. And, you know, got down to Dunedin and got to their spring training complex and got right to work. And I was, you know, happy that they got me healthy and I was able to start my playing career that next year.
After beginning your career with the Blue Jays, you made that transition into the Rockies organization. Then you had the chance to play 5 years with Colorado. What do you recall about your major league debut?
I remember giving up too many runs. I remember being in awe of how big that stadium was and is. I mean, that's a really cool stadium to pitch in, to call home. You know, I remember thinking wild balls really flying here. You know, all those things that you probably hear about Denver. But, you know, all in all, you know, 5 years of learning experiences there. And I was happy to get out of there.
Yeah, generally, you know, Clark LeClaire Stadium is thought of as more of a hitter's yard. Mm-hmm. And you kind of read my mind there with Coors Field in Colorado. And I just remember thinking when I saw you were going to the Rockies, I was like, this will be interesting the thin air. And
yeah,
I'm sure you perhaps had similar thoughts.
Yeah, no, I mean, at first didn't really think about it. Just thought I'd be fine.
Right.
And, you know, your stuff is definitely affected there. You know, the break of your pitches, all that stuff is definitely affected. And then the way the ball flies, obviously is different. So, you know, like I said, it was a lot of learning experiences there. You know, I was excited to move on to Cincinnati.
What are your top memories of that time with the Reds?
I enjoyed my time with the Reds a lot, man. You know, my first year there, we had a really, really good team. You know, kind of stumbled a little bit late in the season. We had a couple guys go down that were big parts of our offense and ended up, you know, coming up just short of the playoffs. But that was the first time I felt like, you know, I was on a team that could win. And I felt like I was a small part of that. You know, and then the next year there, you know, it was kind of fire sale went down through the off season and then into the early part of the season. And we realized that we were going to be part of a rebuild year. Got smacked around pretty good there for a while. But I had a decent year. And I was happy with the numbers that I was able to put up in the bullpen there. For my first year in the bullpen. And I enjoy my time in Cincinnati a lot.
In 2023, you definitely had more than a decent year with the Philadelphia Phillies. 52 and a third innings, just 29 hits, 54 appearances, all in relief. And in those 52 and a third, you struck out 69 and had a whip of you know just over 0.9, which is obviously extremely good. We talked about this off the air before we started recording. I mentioned to you that I grew up an Atlanta Braves fan, as many people in this region do. And I just remember Pirate fans, you know, saying, "Hey, I hope the best for Jeff, but got to pull for my Braves." I was the opposite, you know, especially if it's a situation where you were in the game and the game was on the line. I'm definitely going to pull for the Pirates, but 2023, clearly far and away your best year in your eighth season in Major League Baseball.
Yeah. You know, it started off, you know, we didn't know about, you know, what was going to happen. You know, I signed a minor league deal with Minnesota, had a pretty good camp, thought I had a pretty good chance of making the team. They went in a different direction. The Phillies were actually the first team to call when I backed out of my deal there. And you know, that to me was a good sign. They noted, you know, a lot of the things that I had worked on in the off season as a reason for wanting me. So I thought the opportunity lined up well for me. So, you know, I went and spent, you know, a month in AAA, and I had another opt out coming up. So I, you know, definitely told them that I was going to take it. I was going to try to get back to the big leagues. If they weren't going to put me on their team, then I would try somewhere else. Yeah, I went out and had, you know, I took it outing by outing, man. All I did was, you know, treat each time they called my name, treat it like the World Series. And, you know, when your back is up against the wall like that, you show your true colors. You know, I've been a big believer in that. And, my back was definitely up against the wall this past year. And, you know, I was proud of the work that I put in.
Tell us about, obviously you have Bryce Harper, and some of those teammates, and, you know, what it's like in that locker room, and just, you know, just all the things that Major League Baseball entails.
Yeah. No, the cool thing about our locker room, man, is all those guys, Bryce, Trey, JT, Schwarber, they're all, you know, team first guys. You know, they're there to win. That is the only reason they're there. And I think that's what makes us so dangerous is, you know, every night we're just trying to find a way, you know, no matter how it has to happen, you know, no matter who has to step up, that's all it was, is, you know, if, you know, the guy in front of me didn't get it done, I tried to go out and get it done. If I didn't get it done, then the guy after me tried to go out and get it done. And I think it just meant more to us than it did other teams. And, you know, we definitely have a fan base behind us in Philly that is, you know, the most insane atmosphere that I've ever played in front of. And it's not even close. And we are there to win for Philly and the people there and the fans there. And we understand how much it means to them. And, we feel like we have to reciprocate.
You talk about the atmosphere there, in Philly. This past summer, my son and I had the opportunity to, travel up the Northeast, see a game at Yankee Stadium, also a game at Fenway, a couple of bucket list items. Definitely hope to go back to those, or that, especially Fenway. It's just, it's like something out of a movie. Walking into that ballpark, and it's like a little kid on Christmas, just taking it all in. Whether it's Fenway Park or, you know, other venues, Wrigley Field, you know, what are some of your memories and so forth of those ballparks?
Yeah, every time I walk into one, you know, if it's my first time there, it's the same for me. Yeah, I feel like a kid on Christmas morning. You know, I remember when I was a kid, it's all I ever wanted to do was like play professional baseball. And the fact that I get to do it and I get to show up, you know, to a major league stadium every day and call it my home and call it my workplace is incredible. You know, I still get surprised every day how green the grass is and, you know, how manicured the dirt is and the mound and the baselines and all that. And, you know, I'm really just so lucky, to be able to do it. And, you know, that's why I work so hard, is because, like, this is what, you know, 5-year-old Jeff wanted his whole life. It's, you know, it's all I've ever wanted. And that's why I continue to put in the work and, you know, try to get the most out of it.
You know, as we're recording this, you know, here in mid to late January, you know, it's not long until the 2024 season will be here. And so tell us what these next several weeks will be like for you. Congratulations to you on, you know, on signing that deal here, I guess, about a week ago. And obviously it's also your, you know, belated happy birthday here.
Oh, thank you. Yeah.
So it's been quite the start to 2024 for you.
Yeah, it has. It's been crazy. You know, I've had a lot of family coming through, and you know, everybody tries to spend as much time as they can with us while we're at home for the off season.
because the season is so crazy and you never know who, you know, who you're going to have time to see. And, you know, you're moving around so much and all that stuff. But, you know, the next few weeks for me, I'm going to show up to spring training a week early. You know, try to get, you know, around the guys, you know, a little bit before, you know, everything starts up, all the practices and teamwork starts up. But you know, for these next few weeks, you know, I'm on the mound twice a week, just trying to, you know, fine tune and, you know, get my arm going the way I want it to feel, you know, once camp starts. And, yeah, it's pretty much my focus. I'm in the weight room, I'm at PT, and then I'm on the mound or, you know, on the field throwing. So, you know, it's a year long and full year every year of just, you know, trying to get your body in the best shape possible to go out and play in the marathon season.
You know, final question for you here. This is probably hard to narrow it down to just one, but, you know, some of those top hitters that you faced in your 8+ years now or so in the MLB, you know, who are those top guys that you've seen the most of and, you know, your memories of those battles?
Yeah, man, there's so many of them. You know, obviously, you know, I was on Nolan's team for a long time. I have a lot of respect for what Nolan does at the plate. Pitched against Goldie when he was in his years in Arizona, and then kind of followed him when he went and switched divisions over to St. Louis, and I was in Cincinnati. Seen him a ton. You know, Acuna is always such a pain. Geez, I mean, you name it. I mean, every team has, you know, those guys that you're like, man, how am I going to get this guy out tonight? Mookie, Freddie, Bellinger. I mean, all those guys are really, you know, headaches when they're up there, because you have no idea. They, you know, all it takes is for them to be looking for that one that you have gripped, and you know, it's damage. So, you know, it's always a battle of, you know, trying to, you know, stay ahead of the curve and what they're thinking. And, you know, luckily now I have JT, who's been at it for a while, and he's at the top of the game in all facets of the game. And he takes good care of me, and he, you know, he's an unbelievable hitter as well. So he, you know, kind of sits back there, and, you know, he has that, you know, point of view and that perspective, both offensively and defensively.
Really appreciate the time, and you've been very generous on this afternoon. And, you know, we're, as Pirate Nation, you know, so proud of the success that you're having, and wishing you continued success with the Phillies in 2024. And, you know, if you, you know, had a message, you know, for Pirate Nation or, and just about your time in East Carolina and what it meant to you, you know, what would that be?
Yeah, man, I would say just keep being you, you know, keep doing everything that makes us talk about how great Pirate Nation is. And, you know, I've said that, you know, East Carolina was a stepping stone for me, and it helped me get to the next level. And those things are all so true. They, you know, helped me in so many different ways, you know, progress and further my career to the next level. And, you know, forever thankful for the support and everything that they've done for me. And, you know, definitely proud and happy to be able to call myself a Pirate.
Yeah, no doubt. You know, so many times, you know, folks hear that word stepping stone and they think of it in a negative sense. But, you know, obviously in this situation, it's, you know, when you see, you know, guys like yourself or Alec Burleson, you know, yeah. Gavin Williams, Connor Norby, who's on the verge of the big leagues with the Orioles, and, you know, certainly think he'll be there this year. I know, was waiting for that to happen in 2023, or perhaps, you know, him get traded. But you know, so many Pirates having success in professional baseball in the big leagues. It's awesome to see. Really appreciate the time, as I said, and just look forward to having you on the show sometime down the road.
Yeah, sorry it took so long, but thanks for finally having me on, and I really appreciate it. And yeah, I'm looking forward to next time.
Pirate Nation, that is Jeff Hoffman, the 9th overall pick back in the 2014 MLB draft. We appreciate everyone tuning in to A Pirate's Life for Me here on the Sports Objective. We'll talk to you soon. And as always, go Pirates.
It's A Pirate's Life for Me. Savvy.
Sports Objective, the podcast for pirates.
My heart is purple and gold. I'm a pirate down to my soul, and I don't back down, not at all. Find out when the cannons explode, from the sidelines down to the post. Put it down like not even close, all out to the last whistle blow. From the flag of the soul and crossbones, everybody stand up, get your hands up. That a team know that we got they back. This is our house, this is our town, our time. Everyone, I copy that. Everybody gonna stand, go bananas, be that, but don't hold back. Every foot, every yard.